and they will be called oaks of righteousness. In Scripture itself, humans, Israel, and nations are all likened to trees. Jewish commentary points out that human beings and Torah both possess all four of the major components of a tree. For humans, the roots are one's ancestors, the trunk is the people of Israel, the branches are the tribes, and one's fruit, her good deeds. The tree was so important in the land of the prophets. Literally, and even still, trees are precious there. We can take them for granted here where we have an abundance of them. For example, the oaks of Hebron are famous for disappearing around 300 BC, and the story's epic for the great loss that was to the people and to the land. As I was reading over the lessons for today and then praying them and then reflecting on the life, ministry, and witness of Sheila Crisp, I kept coming back to that image, and they will be called oaks of righteousness. I think that describes Sheila Crisp so well. She was an oak of righteousness. And not the syrupy self-righteousness we see so much of in our circles and in our world. Not a righteousness that is held up and certainly not over others, but one that binds us together, gives hope, promotes peace and grace and love. That is the righteousness Sheila Crisp so believed in, preached, and lived. This was borne out in a CPE supervisor evaluation of her in 2009. Clergy, these are confidential until you die, and then I get to look at them. Her supervisor wrote of Sheila something that I think so exemplifies her. She wrote, "What is most theologically noticeable in Sheila is that she advocates for forgiveness, grace, and connection. She consistently is noticing everyone in the room and has a strong desire to gather everyone into the light of relationship." That was Sheila. Noticing everyone in the room and desiring to gather everyone into the light of relationship. She did this through her work for racial reconciliation in feeding and clothing and housing the poor and homeless, in all her work for justice for the LGBTQ community, and simply by living a life that valued the connection of relationship, the promise of a reconciled community. In that very same hospital in which she was evaluated during CPE, she went through her last days and eventually died. And even while in the hospital going through her own trials, when I would visit her, she would tell me she was working on several of the nurses and she was certain that one wanted to be baptized. And she asked me, if she says she wants to, can I do it here? What could I say? Of course. In all of these things, she was an oak of righteousness. I inherited her, if you will, in the ordination process, now almost 10 years ago. She had a long one, starting into discernment with only a high school education and working hard, working full-time, going to school, going into debt, doing whatever it took to get to her dream of serving God in God's church so that she might be a leader in her desire to gather everyone into the light of relationship. Sheila, at first sight, could be deceiving. I don't know if you recognize Psalm 23, but that was from the Vicar of Diddley. She requested that specifically. Choir, you did a great job with it. I know they had to learn it. In many ways, Sheila was our Vicar of Diddley. She could be deceiving, but one only had to spend about 5 minutes with her to see what foolishness that first impression was. She took her call seriously. She took the people in her charge seriously. She took her faith seriously. But she took herself very lightly, and she had a great sense of humor about life. Sheila's ordination to the priesthood in February 2011 will forever be one I will remember. I think somewhere along the line she said, "Don't do this today, but I'm going to do it anyway." She may haunt me from heaven, but I just couldn't resist. If you were in attendance at her ordination at Christ Church Tacoma, you'll remember this. The Archdeacon and I were at the point where we initially examined the candidate, and As we entered into the prayer, Sheila's was before us standing, and then I looked down at the service booklet, and then I looked up again, and she was gone. And I looked down, and she was no longer standing there. She was prostrate on the floor, face first, before me. We hadn't discussed this prior to being out there. And I remember thinking, well, I know what to do. And we proceeded, and as we did, a cell phone began to ring. Loudly, somewhat annoyingly, and I, like about everyone else in the room, was wondering, where is that phone? And then Jen and I looked down, and Sheila was gingerly putting her hand. And she slowly got the phone out, under her out, and brought it up in front of her face. And I couldn't tell if she was going to answer it or turn it off. I wasn't sure. And it was all the Archdeacon and I could do not to burst out laughing. And in fact, we were shaking there, trying to keep it in. But we pulled it together and kept going. I contained myself and did not bring this up until the sermon, when I asked the people if they had heard that cell phone, which many of them said yes. And then I asked, do you know whose it was? And they looked at me quizzically, and I blurted out, it was Sheila's. She can't even wait for the service to end to go to work. When we got to the examination, the questions asked of the candidate standing in front of the bishop, me asking them questions, will you respect and be guided by the pastoral direction and leadership of your bishop? I will. Will you be diligent in the reading and study of Holy Scriptures and in seeking the knowledge of such things as may make you a stronger and more able minister of Christ? I will. Will you endeavor to minister the word of God and the sacraments of the new covenant that the reconciling love of Christ may be known and received? I will. And of course, the questions go on, but I threw one in. Will you turn off your cell phone before every service? And without missing a beat, Sheila replied, I will. As I said, I'm not sure Sheila loved that story as much as I do. But I told her once that we would be forever bonded through it. And I told her, as so many ordinations simply blend together in my mind, yours will always be one I will remember. And so I will. That phone call was from someone trying to get there that night. She had been hoping to help them before the service started. So she turned on her cell phone. She was being Sheila, seeing everyone in the room, trying to gather everyone into the light of relationship. An oak of righteousness. On the vicar's page on the St. Joseph, St. John website, Sheila wrote this, kind of a manifesto of who she is as a priest. She said to be the spiritual leader for this community of God's beloved people continues to be an honor and a privilege. I find this community to be rich in diversity and most generous in spirit. It is a community that embraces multicultural diversity of the community around it and is inclusive of all people regardless of socioeconomic status, political bent, culture, gender, age, or sexual orientation. They have deep Anglican roots reflected in worship while embracing the movement and guidance of the Holy Spirit. As vicar of this congregation, I hold some basic beliefs. I believe that God provides for our needs. Each person is a beloved child of God and has a ministry that supports God's mission in the world. The Holy Spirit is alive and well in the world and in this community, guiding, shaping, and calling us deeper into the relationship with God and God's work. As an Anglican, I hold the Holy Scriptures of the Hebrew and Christian people to be sacred and inspired by God. I hold fast to the traditions of the church I use as every Christian, the God-given gift of reason in interpretation of the sacred text, the traditions of the church, and in discernment of the movement of the Holy Spirit in the world today. And finally, I hold strong to the Book of Common Prayer and the authorized editions. I believe deeply in the promises made in our baptismal covenant to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourself, to strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being. Sheila was mentored by so many who are in this room now, and many who aren't. She loved them, and all of you who helped her. She loved her people, St. Joseph, St. John. She loved being a priest and a vicar. She never took it lightly. She carried it with great care and honor and dignity, and rightly and just as it should be. She loved all her family more than anything. but most especially Kathy, the love of her life, and more especially, her beloved Robbie. Robbie, I hope you never forget you were your mother's world. We all knew that when we were with her. What I've learned about her in my work with her is that she's someone who I could always count on to be totally honest, totally upfront, and yet totally disarming. She had a great gift of being laser clear and yet amazingly loving. And what I learned from her was a tremendous grace and a courage that my life and experience in it is unmatched. She wrote once about herself, "I see myself as a bridge builder. It is how I live my life, in the open and without shame." That is why I could not get away from that line, "And they shall be called oaks of righteousness." To be an oak of righteousness is someone with great integrity, someone you can trust with your life, someone you do not doubt when they say they will do something, someone who stands by their beliefs even when totally outnumbered and does it without malice or ill will toward anyone, just conviction. An oak of righteousness is someone who will be the voice of the voiceless and is not afraid to speak truth to power. An oak of righteousness is strong and doesn't let the personal get in the way of the call they believe has been given them. And they prove that even more when their call makes them and takes them where they didn't necessarily want to go, and they go anyway. An oak of righteousness has hope in the power of community, and especially in the kingdom God wants for us, and is a worker for it here in every way they can be. All of those things were the fruit of the life of Sheila Crisp. That's the legacy she leaves. The memory she invokes, the wake of her life, is one of justice and reconciliation and hope in the power that comes from gathering everyone together in the light of relationship. She was and forever will be, for those of us who knew her, an oak of righteousness. And today, like so many of us gathered here today, I miss her. But I also, even in death, stand in awe of her. And I always will. My sisters and brothers, we have come together today to honor and celebrate the life, ministry, and witness of our sister, the Reverend Sheila Crisp. We do it in the name of our brother Jesus, and of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.